Your phone, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3-5. I'm looking for someone who has not read today. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3-5. Do you have your Bible there? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3-5. Please read your Bible and our sister will read.
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Amen. Thank you. Now let's have it from another version. New Living Translation, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We are in verse 3-5. Okay, I'll come to you later. Okay, go on. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3-5. We are reading from New Living Translation now.
We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do.
You see, we are human beings, yeah, but we are not waging war, yeah, with humans directly. Although humans may cause us problems and trouble, but the problem is deeper than them, yeah. It's not just physical. Is also spiritual. So if you have an enemy now, the way you're going to overcome them is not to you know, try to eliminate them. You understand? Yeah? It's not a human war. It's a spiritual war. And for spiritual war, you need spiritual weapons. Amen? Yeah, you're not going to overcome a problem in your home through domestic violence. Are you with me? Even though there's a problem, there's a real problem, but you're never going to solve it with violence. Amen? That's human war. You're going to use spiritual weapons. And those spiritual weapons will deliver physical results. Because the spiritual is higher and bigger and greater than the physical. The spiritual can change the physical. Amen? So we're not using physical weapons. They are spiritual. Continue.
We use God's mighty weapons.
These are spiritual weapons. Continue.
Not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God.
Amen.
Amen.
Continue.
We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ.
Amen. Amen. That's a bonus. Verse 6. Okay, now, first question is this. You see, both versions, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, yeah? He's saying that they are mighty to pull down strongholds. Yeah, my question is this. What is a stronghold? What is what? A stronghold. You can see actually that all your spiritual battle in life, yeah, has to do with strongholds. So what is a stronghold? In fact, the Bible even say that you are battling the devil. You are not battling Satan directly. Are you with me? You are not battling Satan directly. Yeah? That's not your own job. Amen? Jesus has come and he has defeated Satan. Okay? So most of your life, you will not contend with Satan directly. But you are going to contend with the messengers of Satan. Are you with me? Is the messengers of Satan you will contend with? Is the tricks of Satan you will contend with? Okay? You are not the one going to send Satan to hell. Are you with me? His time is fixed. At the time that God has fixed, he will be put. Yeah? He will be cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And straight from there, yeah? After the last war, to the lake of fire. But you are going to contend with his dirty tricks. You are going to contend with his messengers. Okay? And mostly, you are going to contend with strongholds. That's where the warfare is. Stronghold. What is a stronghold? Yes, let's have some answers, youth and adults. What is a stronghold? Yes?
A place of security against attack.
Okay, yeah. Okay, we're looking at it in a negative sense. But that's correct. A stronghold is a secure place. Yeah, whether positive or negative. But now, let's look at it from a negative point. So these strongholds are negative. What is a stronghold that you have to war against? Yes?
I think it could be a person or a situation that does not allow Christians to fully reach God's will in their life.
Okay. A stronghold can be a person. Yes, a person can be a stronghold. If they cooperate with the devil, they can be a stronghold in your life. They can be a person or a situation that is hindering you as a believer from fulfilling God's purpose for your life. Yes? I like that.
I think a stronghold is a mindfulness that exalts itself above God's promises in our lives.
Yes. A stronghold, that's right. Another definition is, a stronghold, there are many definitions. It's a way of reasoning that is contrary to God's way. You see that when we read it in New Living, it talks about reasonings, arguments. A way of reasoning that is contrary to God's way or God's word or God's will is a stronghold. Yeah? Now, I'm not saying just a thought. I'm talking about a cycle. You understand? So, usually you can have occasional thoughts. They come and go. But if you have a cycle or a way, a mentality, yeah, that is contrary to God's way, is a stronghold because it will prevent you from fulfilling God's purpose for your life. Yes? A stronghold. I'll come to you.
I think it's a physical or spiritual resistant force.
Okay. A physical or spiritual force of resistance against your advancement is a stronghold. Yes?
It's something that has ground in your life, whether it be a physical, mental, or spiritually. It's like cancer. It has ground or place in your body. So it could be, whether it be spiritual, in your spirit, or in your mind.
A stronghold can be something that has a hold on you to destroy you. Amen? Now, in general, sickness and disease is bad. But not every sickness and disease is a stronghold. But a sickness and disease that holds you permanently bound, that you have to labor under for the rest of your life, is a stronghold. It's or a sickness or disease that wants to kill you quickly is what? A stronghold. Yes?
I think an example of a stronghold would be like a habit or a behavior that is contrary to God's will.
Yes. Life. A habit, or let's say it had an addiction. You know? Now, remember, for you to call something a stronghold, it's not just something that happens. You know? Like, you know, you like ice cream and you take ice cream once a week. That's not necessarily a stronghold. But now, when you have to take ice cream compulsively, 10 times a day, and you just can't help it. What is it? Stronghold. Amen? A habit that holds you bound and you cannot exercise control over is a stronghold. You see what I mean? You can't exercise control over it. It's a stronghold. Whether, you know, even good things can become strongholds if you cannot walk away. Amen? And Bible, that's why Paul said, he said, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Amen? To be under the power of anything makes that thing a stronghold in your life because it means that you can't do without it. Even good things, you should be able to do without them if you had to. Anything that holds you bound is what? A stronghold. Let me give my definition. We've gone through a bit. So my definition is anything. So it's very simple. A stronghold is anything that has a stronghold. Hallelujah. A stronghold is what? Anything that has a strong grip over you in any aspect of your life. Be it spiritual or physical or financially. Some people, debt is a stronghold in their life. Let me just crack this, you know. I don't know what you think, but let me just say this. If you knew that Jesus Christ was coming back next week for sure, what will you do? You know, if your thoughts that, oh yeah, you're going to borrow a big loan from the bank and you're just going to blow it and party, Jesus goes, yeah, debt is a stronghold in your life. Amen. Now, someone else can know that Jesus Christ is coming back next and decide that he's going to pay clear all his debts. He wants to leave the world debt free. Yeah, that's righteousness. Amen? We are called to what? righteousness. Because God is righteous. Amen. So anything can be a stronghold. I'm just trying to say that. Okay? Now, are you still with me? Okay, good. Let's go for it. So now, we're going to have probably three parts of this message. So we're going to have part two, and we're going to have part three. In particular, I want to break them into two parts. As I see, there are two types of strongholds. There's the stronghold of the flesh, and there's the stronghold of the spirit. Again, how many types of stronghold? Two. Strongholds of the flesh, and strongholds of what? Of the spirit. Now, we need to deal with stronghold of the flesh first. Because actually, strongholds of the flesh, they provide a gateway to strongholds of the spirit. Before things become a stronghold in the spirit, something has happened in the flesh. Okay? So, a foothold, yeah, a gateway before, you know, there can be spiritual oppression starts from physical, yeah, things done wrong. So when things are done wrong in the physical, it can open door to spiritual oppression. So stronghold of the flesh have to do with your mind and body. Whereas stronghold of the spirit have to do with evil spirits or demons. Are you with me? Did I say it right? Is it demons? Yeah. Let me say that again. Strongholds of the flesh have to do with mind and body. Yeah? And strongholds of the spirit have to do with evil spirit. Now, there are some people in this world that just believe that, you know, living things are just mind and body. Yeah? You know, some people believe that, you know, there's no God, there's no devil, there's no Satan, there's no spirits. It's just your brain, your emotions, and your body. Okay? Mind and body is flesh. Yeah? Or physical. And then we also have the spiritual. But we start from the physical because every spiritual problem usually starts from a physical problem. Okay? Right, so let's move on. And today we are not actually digging deep into either. I'm just giving a complete overview of strongholds and of deliverance from strongholds. We look at the flesh a bit, we look at the spirit a bit, and I will tell you what God's perfect will is. Next week we'll look at the flesh in detail, more detail, and the third week we'll look at the spirit in more detail. Okay? So, let me ask it this way. Okay, no, let me leave it for time. So, the strongholds of the flesh has to do, this is the way it works. I said it's mind and body. It has to do with your mind, what's going on in your mind. When your mind is not renewed, yeah, in line with the word of God, yeah, different thoughts, different attitudes can come that are not of God. And you will not even know. You will just embrace them and live under them. You will not know that you are held bound by these attitudes. Okay? So the strongholds of the mind are wrong attitudes. Okay? Wrong ways of thinking. Okay? And the strongholds of the flesh are wrong habits. Yeah? You know? Wrong way. So is that a wrong way of thinking or a wrong way of doing things? Okay? And as you practice repeatedly, yeah, it holds you. You can't just help it. You just have that wrong perspective. Or you're just going to go about it that way and that way only. Okay? And those are the strongholds of the flesh. Okay? Now, so remember once about stronghold of the flesh. It has to do with when you are not controlling your body. If you are going to give in to every appetite of your body, you're going to give it to every desire your body wants. Yeah? You will be held bound by a stronghold. Because not every desire your body wants is right. Are you with me? Now, if you're going to give in to every way of thinking, you know, there's sometimes that things may happen and you get angry or annoyed or irritated, but you're still going to resist that dominating you. You understand? There are some people they walk about and they just hate everybody. Yeah? And it starts by them not even controlling themselves. You may see something you don't like or someone you don't like, but you can control that and correct it and say, I ought to love this person and I choose to love this person. Amen? Or you can give in to it. You know, some people, you know, racism is not just one way. It's always. The people that are complaining against racism are also racist. Let me say that again. There are people that carry placards and say no to racism, but in the depth of their heart, they are also what? Racing. The only reason why they are protesting is because they are at the receiving end. Are you with me? In their hearts, they don't love the people that they consider racist. And they don't want them about, they don't want to tolerate them. They don't want to help them. They don't want to love them. Can you see? So, when we give in to any of these ways of thinking, these emotions or these desires without control, it will become a stronghold. Okay, now let's get some examples because the best way to learn is from questions. So my questions are this. Can we take some examples of ungodly attitudes and habits which are strongholds? Hello, Sister BJ. Are you still in church? Hallelujah. Can we take some examples of ungodly attitudes and habits? Sister BJ first. An attitude or a habit. So attitude has to do with mind. Habits have to do with body. Yeah? That can be strongholds, which is they can hold somebody bound. Yeah? A way of thinking, a way of reasoning, or feeling, or a way of doing things that can become a stronghold in somebody's life.
I think there are some people that...
There's a place in the Bible that just summarizes them all. Continue.
But
just give us one.
Okay. Compulsive liar.
Yes. Compulsive lying. Yeah? Before you land, they've dropped 3 bombs of lies. Yeah? He's like, the girls can't help it. He said, but I saw you yesterday, they would trust another lie. Yeah? Compulsive lying is a stronghold of the flesh. Yes?
Like basically all of the 10 commandments, if you habitually like not follow them, they're stronghold.
Okay, I want us to be specific. Just give something, a behavior, yeah, whether in attitude or in deed or in doing, that can be a stronghold in somebody's life. So let's just deal with specifically. And when you're telling me, I can question you further if I want.
Sexual immorality.
Sorry, you're confusing me. Actually, you're not because I'm a pastor. But for the benefit of the body, what is meaning of sexual immorality?
Yeah, so if you're engaging in sexual act with someone that is not your spouse, your husband or your wife.
Okay. Someone you're not married
to.
Yeah. Yes.
Fornication, covetousness, idolatry.
Just one. Okay. So she's mentioned sexual immorality can be a stronghold. Sexual immorality, first of all, immorality as a word means doing something that is not moral. You understand? So lying itself is a form of immorality. Are you with me? Fraud, cheating is a form of immorality. Cursing is a form of immorality. It's not moral. Now, the sexual immorality has to do with having physical intimacy with someone that you are not married to. Okay? And that can become a stronghold over your life. In fact, some people take it further and they're just jumping about like prostitutes from left to right. All forms of sexual immorality, you know, is a stronghold for the flesh. Okay? Yes? Thank you, Sister T.Y. Yes, pass it on.
Gambling!
Thank you very much. Gambling is also a stronghold. Yeah? It's a stronghold. It can hold you bound. You know, there are people that receive their salary. Before they get home, imagine a man has gone to work hard. Yeah? And he has children at home. He has a wife. He has children. Collects his salary. Before he gets home, yeah? He just branches a club. Yeah? And gambles away 50% of his salary. Is that normal? Yeah? He started out normal. And probably he was gambling like 1%. But now he's gambling all. That's what? A stronghold of the flesh. Yeah? Yes? Thank you. Yes?
Smoking and drinking.
Smoking and drinking. That's addiction. Yeah? Addiction to smoking or drinking is a stronghold because it owes people. Normally when people start, they start okay. But as they go on, it dominates and they cannot control it. They cannot help themselves. They are bound. They themselves know that, I can't help this. You see what I mean? Anything that holds you bound is a stronghold. Okay? By the way, I just want to mention this. Even food, eating can be a stronghold. It's called gluttony. You know, when you are eat, when you eat compulsively or excessively, yeah, when you cannot control your appetite, yeah, what is it? It's a stronghold. Imagine you just ate a nice meal at home, then you went to visit Sister Frida. I'm just giving an example. And then there's that nice smell. By the way, you are full. I mean, like, you are actually full, but that smell, oh no. You sit down and clear it completely again. Now you look pregnant, okay? And you can't help it. Yeah? Gluttony is a stronghold. It is. Yes?
Always seeing the wrong in others and in situations.
Always what?
Always seeing the wrong in others and in situations.
The spirit of criticism can be a stronghold. Now, that doesn't mean she cannot criticize anybody at all. Doesn't mean you cannot correct anybody at all. I'm not talking about things you do one-offs here and there according to education demand, but there's such a thing called a critical spirit where you just set off and you just keep going. You are now, you can't help it. Even when something good has been presented, you find something to criticize. Yeah? It's a stronghold. The problem is that by not seeing any good in others, that means that whatever they could do to help your life, you will lose it. Because you are opening your mouth and telling them that they are rubbish. Yeah? So I'm not saying don't criticize at all. There's room for correction, there's room for criticism, but when it becomes habitual, it can actually be strong. You have to actually know that that person, no matter what you do, they're going to criticize you. They are in bondage. There is a spirit of criticism. Yeah? And it's a bondage, a stronghold. Is anybody here under that? May God deliver you from that spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, deliverance from the spirit of criticism starts from keeping quiet. You just learn to keep quiet. You know, if you want to come up, just keep your mouth. You know, and you will take control over that spirit. Amen? Yes?
A desire to please the world or conform with the world and just kind of follow whatever
they are doing.
Yeah.
There's something called a worldliness or worldly spirit. You know, you're a Christian, but you just want to feel among, be among, and do everything. You blend in, and you just can't help it. It doesn't matter whether you've heard the best sermon in the world. Wherever you find yourself, you just blend in. It can be a stronghold. Help me? Yes, I take two more, and then I need to move on. Because this is an overview, we will still come back to this. Yes? Strongholds of the flesh. Wrong attitude, wrong habits. That can hold you bound. Yes?
Jealousy,
yes. Jealousy can be natural. It just starts off one off. But there are people that, they are permanently what? Have you met any of them? They are just permanently jealous. You know? They are permanently jealous. Some people are so jealous that if they find out that you are using the same things, they are unhappy now. Go on.
Oversleeping.
God bless you, brother. I'm telling you, yeah? Sleep can be a stronghold. When sleep has control over you, you've listed 10 things you want to do, but sleep came. You did none. You are under bondage. It's bondage. Because it will cheat you from achieving everything that God wants you to do with your life. You keep procrastinating your life away. Amen? Now, you need sleep. You need, I would say, you know, I'm not a doctor, but I would say, you will need between 5 to 8 hours of sleep daily, depending on your body. For me, 7 hours. Yeah, I know I need 7 hours. When I lose 7 hours, which I usually do on Sundays, I do a siesta to catch up. You should do that. But once you've done your standard hours, you have to control that body. Don't let it dominate, because it will cheat you from God's best. Sleep can compromise many things in your life. You know, some people will continue to remain poor because of bondage to sleep. It's in the Bible. It's in Proverbs. Actually, there's a whole chapter about sleep in Proverbs. Yeah? He said, a little sleep, a little sunblock, a little folding of that to sleep, so your poverty come. So there's actually a key to poverty. You know the key to poverty? One of the keys. Oversleeping. Yeah? Leaving everything undone and just sleeping, you can be sure that you will enter poverty with Thanksgiving. One more. I just take that one more there. Okay, I'll take you. And then I will move on.
Pride.
Oh, God bless you, sister. Pride is the biggest stronghold. Let me tell you why. Because Bible says God resists the proud. But God hates sin, all types of sin. But this particular type of sin that God actually he deploys all the force of heaven to push you away. Doesn't matter if you are born again. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Let me say, if I have a problem, and God wants to help me, he can only help me when I humble myself. I say, Lord, I'm ready. I'm nothing without you. You understand? The way we understand pride nowadays is called your ego, you know? Your ego will stop you from forgiving people. You hold on tight to it. I say, how could he do that to me? Yeah? Your ego will stop you from respecting people that God has positioned to lead you spiritually. He say, well, everybody has equal right. Your ego can destroy your marriage. Your ego can destroy your pride is the biggest sin, because that was the sin of Lucifer that made him fall. And the common form of pride, in case you don't understand, is stubbornness. So let's pray. Say, God, deliver me from the spirit of pride and stubbornness. I renounce it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's take one more, which is, two more. Oh, three more. Okay. Three more and then we move on.
Yeah, I was going to say, not being able to express love, like not having a loving nature, that whoever comes your way, you're always like, you know.
Yeah, so hatred. Well, it's not hatred. I don't think that's what you're trying to say. It's, withdrawal, or, let me find a better word for what you're trying to describe. You know, there's a spirit of conservatism that can be a stronghold. You know, some people are, you can be ultra, when you're ultra conservative, you're in bondage. And when you're ultra liberal too, you're in bondage. Let me explain. If you're ultra conservative, you will not express what you should express. You hold back. Yeah? You know in you that you should say thank you. But you hold back. You know in you that you should give someone a, you know, there's some people that they hate, they can't take a hug. I met someone like that. It doesn't work. I understand that. It may be just you. But some situation may arise where you need to give or take a hug. And you just hold back. Even if I never gave people hugs, someone has gone through trauma. Spontaneously, you want to do that, but you say, no way. Yeah? So if you're ultra conservative, that was one of the problems of the religious leaders of Jesus' day, that they rejected him. They're just not going to have it any other way than their way. Okay? So not allowing the expression, of love or kindness or compassion, holding it back, is ultra conservatism and it's a stronghold. On the other reverse side, hyper liberalism is also a stronghold, where you don't want disciplined in any way. You want to be just generally undisciplined and say, God is gracious. Just do whatever you like. You can even take something from your note and stick it on the nose of God. Say, God is gracious. I'm just saying it that way. That's ultra liberalism. It's a stronghold. You understand? You will not be trained. You will not be disciplined. You don't want any guidelines. You don't want any regulation at all in your life. It's ultra. Now, what we want to do is balance. Yeah? You need some conservatism and you need some liberalism. Okay? You're conservative in the majors and you're liberal in the minors. Okay? And that's where we should be. Okay? Any other one? Last one. Okay, I'm not taking any more. Just last two. Go on.
Okay, so we have a word in French that is convoitise, but it has four different meanings in English, which is lust, greed, envy, and covetousness.
What was the word again?
Convoitise.
Convoitise.
Yes.
Wow. Convoitise.
It means all that in English.
Yes, so, and that can be a stronghold. You know, lust can be a stronghold. I actually personally believe that when people start off with lust for anything, yeah, it's just a bodily desire. But as you do it and you let it dominate you, no, they can't help it. They will do it anyhow and anywhere. Yeah, it has taken over them. But it never started like that. They kept giving into it and accommodating it and feeding it until they took over. Okay? And that's how the flesh, a stronghold of the flesh can lead to a stronghold of the spirit. You start off in the flesh, opening that door, opening that door, opening that door. Then the demon comes and say, hello, what you doing? We know how to do it too. We can help you. And usually they're very rude. They don't, once you give them any chance, they just invite themselves. Now we will help you. So we can, and they take over and they help you do it better. Now you're bound. Yeah? But they came in because the door was open. Okay? Yes, last one. Strongest of the flesh. And then we can move on.
Constant insecurity.
Yes.
And depression.
Yes. And, you know, I feel that is a borderline between the flesh and the spirit. And I think actually that is more of a stronghold of the spirit than of the flesh. The spirit of fear is the chairman of the club. Do you know that the spirit of fear can bring disease into your body? He's a ruler of darkness. Yeah? He's a commander. There's some commanders in the spirit. The spirit of death is a commander. Yeah? It has assistance. The spirit of fear is a commander. Because fear opens the door to anything. What fear does, it opens the door. Fear, always what? The job of fear in your life, what does it do? To open your door. Fear is a doorkeeper. And all his job is what? Open. And when a door that is open, is it secure anymore? No. So you started off feeling, started off with the fear of insecurity, but it leads you into more what? Insecurity. You know? Now, if there are things you need to do, do them. But if there are things that you have no control over, you have no point fearing. Yeah? Take it to God or take it to someone who can help you. Are you with me? If I need to shut the door, what do I need to do? Shut it. If I can't shut the door, find somebody who can help me. Shut. No point staying there, you know, bound by fear. Okay, time is moving, so let me just move on. So thank you for exploring the strongholds of the flesh. Now let me show you a good list of the strongholds of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5. Please open there. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Actually, because we've explored these strongholds of the flesh much, I will just tie it up there. I'm not going to revisit that for time's sake. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 21. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 21. Okay, someone who has not spoken today or read. Galatians 5, 16 to 21. Do you want to? Who is there? Yes. Galatians 5, 16 to 21. Please, follow in your Bible. Galatians 5, 16 to 21. Yes, go on.
So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your
Now sin, listen, so this one is going to introduce us to a list of all the strongholds of the flesh. Yes, go on.
When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry,
sorcery,
yes. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen. Let me just explain this to you. The reason why we have to talk about the strongholds of the flesh before we talk about the strongholds of the spirit is that the strongholds of the flesh usually create a foothold for evil spirits to act. Now, I'm not saying one off. So, for example, if you went off and you fell into sin, whatever sin, yeah? You didn't mean to, you didn't plan to, it just happened. Or even if you plan to, it's just one sin. You can go back to God and repent. Go on your knees and say, Father God, I'm sorry. I missed it. You know? Especially if you didn't plan to. And even if you plan to, you still missed it. You either miss it in your body or in your mind. And I say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Bible says when we do that, he is faithful and just to what? To forgive us and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. The real problem comes where you are living in the sin. So falling into sin is different from living in sin. Can you see the difference? Falling into sin is that you're not living in it, you fell. Yeah? Now you repent, God will forgive you and cleanse you. Yeah? And he will continue to help you in your journey. But if you are perpetually repeating, that's sin. So that someone who is continuously lying, someone who is continuously quarreling, someone is continuously jealous, someone is continuously, one of the strongholds of the flesh is idle words. One is continuously speaking carelessly. There are people that have said that, you know, I'm just so tired, I feel like dying, and a demon came. And you know what happened? You will not know, see it as a demon. Disease entered their body. I'm talking about an incurable disease. Now we'll kill them early. Yeah? But it all started by making that statement. You understand? That's why we cannot make some statements. You know, someone says, I wish I would just die. You don't need to ever say it. Even if you thought it, don't say it. Amen? So if you go up doing all these things, now there's one part I want to talk about. There's a strong goat we need to be aware of. He said sorcery. And a modern word for sorcery is occultism. When you expose yourself to occultism, yeah, you are opening a door. Now you may not understand what I mean by occultism. It includes reading horoscope. Hello? There was a woman who kept reading horoscope in the newspaper. Yeah? That's how the spirit of what was that spirit came into her. Because he was contacting something that was not of God. Anytime you're exposing yourself to something that is not of God, is a doorway. Yeah? Consulting a medium. These are all sorcery. Consulting a witch doctor. It can open a door to demons. Consulting, you know, tarot reading, palm reading even. They're not in the Bible. They're not. The Bible says, actually, the Old Testament forbids it. He says you should not do it. Amen? So I just want to say that all this can open doors. And if you have been involved in that before, or it has happened in your family line, you need to renounce it. You see, one thing about God, that God does not condemn you based on your past. The only thing that God will make you judge is what you are doing now. Someone said, it doesn't matter what happened before. What matters is what you are doing with it now. Amen? So if you've been exposed to occultism before, you need to repent of it and renounce it and say, I renounce it. I have nothing to do with you. You are out of my life. I dissociate with you. You need to consciously do that. The stronghold will not go away until you consciously do it. If I have played, for example, with horoscope before, I should repent and say, Father, I'm sorry. I repent of it. I renounce it. If maybe, you know, maybe in my family line, you know, they practice sorcery, you know, idolatry, I need to repent and renounce it. They may be doing it, but that's not I'm not part of it. I dissociate from it completely. And I renounce it before God. Are you with me? This is very important. So these are the ways that Satan can come. Someone said, and I need to round up here, maybe in like 2 minutes. Through the flesh, the devil can enter a situation and make it worse. You see what I'm trying to say? Yeah? If you are always fearful, yeah? He can open the door. You understand? Because although we are physical, there are also evil spirits in the atmosphere. Yeah, they don't disturb everybody, but they can if a door is open. You know, like sometimes, you know, people are in depression, or even, you know, people go into insanity. It doesn't start in one day. It starts with a thought. Yeah? That they tolerated. Yeah? Sometimes it starts with trauma. Yeah? Something that's bad has happened. But if you allow it to dominate you, yeah? Then the devil can come along and say, let's take it further. You see, the devil is not merciful. Can you say to yourself, the devil is not merciful. But God is gracious and compassionate. And that's why you must try and make sure you're dealing with the devil. No, when I say dealing, I mean, don't strike any deal with the devil. Someone say, if you want to dine with the devil, use a long spoon. Have you ever heard that? If you want to, you're planning to dine with the devil, you need to use a long spoon so that before he can reach you, you've gone, yeah? But I want to tell you, there's no spoon long enough to dine with the devil. What business have you dining with what? The devil. Amen? Are you with me? So, in rounding up, let's go to Colossians 1 and someone read verse 13. I want to round up there. Colossians 1:13. That was the Bible reading, the first Bible reading today. Colossians 1:13. Yes, Sean? Let's give that to you. Colossians 1:13. We continue next week with the message. Colossians 1:13. So, you see, everything you are doing can be what is compromising you. You understand? Everything you are doing can be what is compromising you. You are trying to solve a problem in your home. But you are never going to be humble about it. Yeah? And then, the problem escalates. You resort to violence. You are not going to solve that problem. Because you created it. Are you with me? Solving the problem starts with humility. Sometimes I learned that one of the ways to solve a domestic problem is just having the humility to walk away and not make your point. You know, you can be pointless, you will not die. You know, sometimes you feel that you need to have your say-so. But you know, I found out that there are times that if you give it up, your say-so, you walk away, you are not going to die. And sometimes you have your say-so and you spoke fire into the problem. And you are worse off at the end of the day, but you've had your say-so. You know what you've done? You've massaged the stronghold of pride. Yeah? But the result you have is not what you like. Amen? That's how the flesh works. So the Bible says the way to overcome the flesh is to walk in the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. But you're never going to be able to walk in the Spirit if you don't humble yourself. You know why? To walk in the Spirit, you need to yield to the Spirit. And you're never going to yield to anything if you're not humble. Hello? You're not going to yield to anything if you don't humble yourself. Because why should you let them control you? You're not going to let the Spirit control you until you humble yourself and say, yes. So you see, the fire is stoking, the emotions are stoking, but the Spirit tells you, drop it. Huh? But you know you have lots to say. You know you have lots of emotion. I know some people tell me, say, you know, I just have to say my mind. But you know what? You're not ready to listen to the mind of others, are you? So I always say that if you have nothing good to say, be quiet. Don't cause more harm than good. You yield to the Spirit, you walk away. And through that, God can come into the situation and heal and solve the problem. Because until you yield to the Spirit, before it starts showing you what you cannot see. Amen? Hallelujah? Anything must not control you. Jesus says, I will not be controlled by anything except God and His Word and His Spirit. And that's it. Then you will overcome the stronghold of the flesh. All those things listed, the only way to overcome them is to walk in the Spirit by yielding to the Spirit. You let it go. Desire may be strong, but any uncontrolled desire will hold you bound. Any uncontrolled desire will hold you what? Bound. Desires are like horses. You know, like when you have a horse and a cat. Those horses need to be controlled. Yeah? Desires are not all bad, but they need to be what? control. They must be under control. Desire is a power. But power without control, it destroys. Any desire at all must be under what? Control. No desire must control me. I can enjoy my desires, provided I can control them. Amen. Let's stop there. Let's just talk to God.